grandfather was an avid racer when it came to pigeons. Had a huge big loft in the back of our house in the yard, and it was great as a kid to be around those birds and to watch my granddad take care of them. One of the most fascinating things about pigeons is its homing instinct. I remember on a number of occasions when he raced these birds, they'd be taken to places like Philippolis, up in those areas of the Cape, and those birds would be released, and they were flying huge, big circles, and eventually they would hit on a track, on a direction, and they would fly home. And then to see them land on the roof of the loft was one of the most consoling things. And our favorite pigeons were all tagged around the claws of their feet, and so you could identify them very, very easily. But this homing instinct is something that all of us are born with. We become very nostalgic when we think about home, because for many of us, home is very pleasant memories. It's a place of creativity, a place of safety, a place of provision, a place where we are loved. And while some do not have fond memories of home, the scriptures speaks very dearly about home as a haven, home as a place of safety. Sandy Paddy sings a song, "If home is really where the heart is, then home must be a place we all can share. For even with our differences, our hearts are still the same." So, home evokes fond memories. And so I'd like us to turn to Psalm 127. It's a psalm written by Solomon. There are a number of evidences that he wrote the psalm. There are some wisdom ideas embedded in the psalm. It speaks of things like rest, things like sleep, and then on the big subject of children and the family. So we cannot just out of hand reject the idea that Solomonic authorship is what has stood the test of time on Psalm 127. But let's look at these five verses and see what they encourage us when it comes to the home and things pertaining to the home. You see, this is a pilgrim psalm, and the psalmist affirms that total dependence on divine intervention, total dependence on God alone, ensures worthwhile and successful domestic enterprises and safeguards. And then the psalmist epitomizes God's blessing in the gift of children who can defend the interests of the family. We live in a day where home and family values are taking a very bad rap. We have many legislations and policies that are being considered that threaten the existence of marriage, the way we know it from a biblical standpoint, and the family as we know it from a biblical standpoint. Because you see, household order, order in the family and how the family operates was one of the existential nerves of the Puritans. And so it's no small thing that a psalm like Psalm 127 would highlight these two issues, that domestic enterprises are meaningless without divine intervention. Not only that, The blessing of the Lord in the provision of children who are capable of defending the family is what is crucial, not only in this text, but also for us in our day. Because the one who holds the family holds the future, as we say. And as goes the family, so goes the nation. In our own country, we are sitting with about 60%. In the regions of 60% of our children are growing up without fathers. And 40% of them, in turn, are growing up in female headed households. And so that has a great impact, negative impact, on the culture and what the family ought to be. So let's look at verse 1 and 2, the middle part of verse number 2. Verse 1 and 2 talks about our domestic lives, the need for our domestic life to be dependent upon God. Do not live a life independent upon God when it comes to your home life. Verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So unless the Lord is involved in our enterprises as a family, because you see, a successful family is not an accident. It comes because of careful thinking and praying and working at substantial health in the family. A successful family is not the product of an accident. Verse 2 says, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. A good word to workaholics, that God has given us hours to sleep and God has given us hours to work. And often we burn the candle at both ends, severed from a dependence upon God, and we experience great anxiety in our lives. The scripture says, the Lord gives his beloved sleep. Oh, sleep is a wonderful thing. Too much sleep, it's not good for us. Neither is too little sleep. And as we grow older, we may be able to do with less sleep. But the important thing is that in verse 1 and verse 2, enterprises in the home engaged in without dependence upon God leads to ruin. Because you see, we work hard for wages, don't we? But that's not the only thing that we need to be working at. Verse 3 to verse number 5 talks about children. It epitomizes the blessing of the Lord in the provision of children. And children are birthed when a husband and a wife, when they are calm. When there's great anxiety, it's very hard to beget children. And so children are described as a gift, a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It's very important to notice that the longevity of the family is in view here. How we build our legacies and what the legacies that we leave is what is going to greatly impact our future. So children are a gift, but children are to be guided in verse number 4. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. And the idea is that we have our children when we are virile, and we have our vitality and our strength and our energy with us. They are children of our youth. As an arrow is guided, so a child needs to be guided. Because verse 5 says, blessed is the man who fills with his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. The question is always asked, how many children ought you to have or should you have? Well, the biblical text here is, as many says, as many as possible. Blessed is the man who has his quiver full of them, because we need to understand that the way we secure our future is through having children and rearing godly kids, not just good kids, but godly kids. The Bible says here that it is in rest that there is relief, because you and I will not be put to shame when we speak with our enemies in the gate. Our families can be a great source for an advertisement of the gospel, a positive advertisement. So let's thank the Lord this morning for families and the way families can minister into our lives as mothers, as fathers, and as a community of faith. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of teaching the scriptures, and may the word of God find a resting place in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.